On this week's episode, we have Jason Brown, Vice President of Marketing for Marketplace Chaplains USA. He came to Marketplace Chaplains in 2002 with 20 years of sales and marketing experience that includes Procter & Gamble, National Sales Manager for Wrangler Outerwear, and Computer Resale Technologies. And Jason was also a professional athlete and won the 1991 World Champion Saddle Bronc Rider title, while also serving as the rodeo's national spokesman coordinator. Welcome to the Marketing Like Jesus podcast, Jason.
Well, thank you, Darren. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. And I love the book and all the insights you brought into it. It's right online. So I'm honored to visit with you today.
Excellent. This is going to be fun. Well, I just shared a brief introduction about you, but please tell us a bit more about yourself. And I'm sure that our listeners would want to hear what it takes to become a Bronco riding champion.
Well, first, I'm married to my beautiful wife, Cindy. We have twin boys that are 13, just started middle school this year. We live in the Dallas area. Besides the bio on the thing, I've served on many boards, on strategy sessions, executive committees. One of my sons is involved in lacrosse, so I'm a U.S. Lacrosse Level 2 certified coach and president of our Rockwall and Heath lacrosse organization, and then sit on the executive committee of the DFW lacrosse organization, which we have about 3,500 kids playing lacrosse now. But my calling for the last 13 years has been to ministry in the marketplace, and specifically here with Marketplace Chaplains. As you mentioned, I had a 4-year stint on the pro rodeo circuit as a saddle bronc rider. That was my only source of income or living, so traveled from coast to coast, about 115,000 miles a year on the road. Wow. Paying entry fees, riding through injuries, because unlike a lot of other sports, unless you win or place, you don't get paid. So, that 1991 was my last year. Yeah, very high stakes. A lot of expenses to go up and down the road, and then entry fees at rodeos could be anywhere from, you know, $100 to $200 that you're putting in yourself. And so, but I learned a lot, met a lot of great people, a lot of great Christians. Out there, it's kind of a tight-knit family and, you know, really good people. And the guys that do it for a living, it's not the old, you know, party and go in and fun and all that. It was a job, number one. And two, I rodeoed with champions because you're only as good as the people you travel with. So we worked out, we ate right, we got our rest. We took it very seriously.
Wow. Well, you obviously have a wide variety of experience that you're bringing to this interview. So what is Marketplace Chaplains? The theme of this particular episode is, what is a Christian company? And the reason why I wanted to have Jason to come on is representing Marketplace Chaplains. This organization is in the trenches, is actually embedded into companies all around the world, where they're providing that pastoral care right there in the marketplace, not in the four walls of the church, but actually in these companies and making an impact on the front line. So what is Marketplace Chaplains and what services do you provide?
Yeah, thanks, Darren. This is our 30th year. We provide a personalized and proactive employee care service to client companies through the use of chaplain care teams. So we utilize male, female, and ethnically diverse chaplains that are assigned to the specific company locations, you know, now around the world, that make regularly scheduled weekly worksite visits to develop a relationship of trust and confidence with employees. So we are, as you say, down in the front lines, in the weeds with employees, and that's all we're focused on. We're not a CEO organization. We're not counseling, you know, not mentoring, not discipleship. We are not the person's pastor. We are a frontline chaplain caregiver, somebody that is neutral from the company, voluntary to use. The employee can decide what they want to talk about if they want to talk, strictly confidential and available to everyone regardless of background. So, you know, the employees today, whether you're atheist, Methodist, or Muslim, you're worried about your job, can't get along with a supervisor, maybe another employee conflict, you have financial concerns, maybe a rebellious teenager at home, maybe you're in the sandwich generation, you're maybe caring for a parent or a grandparent with senior living challenges. So, you know, everybody comes to work with a lot of stuff, and it manifests itself in absenteeism and turnover and low productivity and safety breaches. So the chaplains really become a great pressure relief valve for employees. We have over 2,800 chaplains now. This month, we will walk into 14,000 work sites and make visits. So it's quite a large ministry at this point, but we only serve 632 companies, so we have a long way to go.
Wow. Well, so you're right there on the front lines, and I'm wondering about the leaders of these different companies, and what is, do they tend to be Christians? And so, like, you would be, your organization is right there working with these CEOs, with these HR directors. And first of all, I wanted to ask a question to you: what is a Christian company? And then, would you consider most of your clients to be, quote, Christian companies?
Sure, that's a great question. Kind of backing up, you know, I use the analogy that there's no such thing as a Christian plumber or a Christian mechanic. You may be a mechanic and a plumber or a CEO, and then you may be a Christian. So a company or a corporation or a building cannot be Christian in itself. It would be the people in the company that would have to transform the company. And then here's the big gap, and I think this is where we become and are a tangible resource for people to point to and say, yes, this company is different because they've implemented chaplain care for their employees. You know, I meet 200 different CEOs and companies a year and see all the core values and the nice mission statements and all the stuff. But what are you doing? Okay, yeah, you do a few fundraisers and you give here and there and all that's good stuff. But how are you really impacting your company? So, you know, early on, Gil Strickland, our founder, the first few companies that wanted to try this out, it was a new concept really back then, you know, those were pretty strong Christians. And they will tell you today that they did it more for the spiritual Christian side of, you know, looking at it. And now they'll tell you it's one of the best business decisions they have, they've ever made. So I think in the larger companies you go to, a lot of the top leadership are Christians, but because of this silly environment, litigious environment we live in, and everybody's so scared about religious harassment or getting a lawsuit or offending anybody or being politically correct, they've kind of, over the last 20 or 30 years, you know, it's been shut down, you know. But I think that's why this Faith at Work movement is growing. People are tired of, okay, I have my family life, then I have my church and spiritual life Sunday, but boy, Monday morning, I've got to be somebody different. You know, it's funny, Darren, we have, I would say now in the 600 and we're about up 640 companies. I would say now only 50% are strong evangelical type Christian leaders. Some are Christian, some are humanitarians. We've even had an atheist VP of HR at a large company hire us because of the way we employ the service to the companies, because it's not church at work and we're not pushing religion or preaching or proselytizing or judging conduct. Yeah. But he said, you know, you have a good track record. And he goes, I know my people need help and I know they won't come to me as an HR person and they're not coming to the CEO. So, you know, when you look at a company like David Weekley Homes or McLean or banks or whatever, and they say, well, you're a Christian-led company, what do you do? You can mention a lot of things, but it's really, I think it's really a neat vision match when we meet companies and they say, we've grown from 10 employees, now we're 80 employees or we're 300 employees and we're in 20 locations. And I just don't know the people like I used to. We can't respond like we would used to. They have family members, and you know, how do we care for them? And we become that perfect match to simply extend, enhance, and broaden the level of care. We're not there to replace or displace any CEO or HR's caregiving.
Right.
But the fact is, that's not their role. So you really break it down into role, and the chaplain role is very specific.
And as a leader in a company, you would want to, I mean, I was in the military. I understand Gil Strickland was also a military chaplain, correct?
Right. Retired as a colonel in the Army as a chaplain, yes.
And so he brought that experience over. And I know that as a former officer in the military, I mean, you can only go so deep in your conversations with your people when it comes to their personal issues.
Right.
That familiarity can cause some issues in the organization when it comes time to, take disciplinary actions or anything like that, or just even given a command. It's like, wait a second, you were the one that was, I was just pouring my heart out to, you know. And so having that chaplain there provides an incredible resource to make sure that those needs are met while still ensuring proper chain of command and all of those sorts of things that need to be in place.
Yeah, that's a good point. And some people, when they kind of think about it, if they haven't realized the big gap that they're not catching with the, you know, for every problem we've analyzed it that is surfaced to a CEO or VP of HR level, that's only about 15 to 20%. But they don't want to get engaged, don't have the time, may not have the training, don't want to look like they're focused on one aspect of the employee population. So, but it's not when a company or a company leadership brings us in, they're not subrogating their personal care or personal evangelism responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's just an extension of that. So really is a convenient, nice thing to do to where they can focus on what they're best at. And we can focus on what we're best at. And it's really a good compliment.
Mm. So you would say that about 50% of your clients, founders and CEOs, are open about their Christian faith.
Yeah, probably. And then another 30 to 40% are Christian, or, you know, they wouldn't use the terms, this is a kingdom company and
all
of that. They're good, you know, good Christian folks. Then another 10 or 15%, you know, are great, you know, high ethics, high standards, integrity, et cetera. And then, you know, a few, you just really don't know where they are, but God divinely has brought us together to help care for somebody in that organization. You know, I say it's always about the one employee. It's not how wide we get or how big, it's how deep we can go with who God's placed in our paths. And a lot of times those are just for seasons. We've had companies 30 years. We have companies sometimes 4 years. And when I believe that God has ordained our chaplain caregivers who are praying for those divine appointments each day to that person that is in hurt or has a need or an open heart ready to share, that's who we're focused on. And, you know, not trying to play God, but when that task is accomplished at that location, then it's time to move on. So we don't try to hold on to anything. It's always ever changing, but thankfully we are growing exponentially and now internationally. That's really exciting.
Beautiful. And Jason, I loved what you said about that there are no quote Christian plumbers or Christian companies. I mean, a company is only as Christian as the people in it.
That's right.
And so I'm wondering, what are some of those differences? What are some of the things that make these companies different than, say, a company that just really isn't interested in providing that pastoral care, or a company that it's just fairly clear that they don't want anything to do with God or religion or anything that could be considered religious?
Yeah. I don't want to say everyone that is not, because there are some good companies that are probably not Christian led, but they do really great things and all that. But I think it depends on their motivation for being in business. More money, larger, greed, pride. People are just an EIN number. If you don't work out or can't make it, we'll get somebody else. You know, basically it goes down to the love of money and position and power. And that can manifest itself in many different ways. But it's really neat when you, here's the kind of the paradox of it though. Customer satisfaction and customer loyalty, which is what you want, which produces the profits, because there's no future in break even. So a company needs to grow. But that added value and added service comes from the employee. So if you will focus on employee loyalty, and the reason people leave a company voluntarily, almost half of them, according to the Department of Labor, is because they don't feel valued or cared for. You know, the other top company will say, well, if I just pay them more money, they'll stay and be happy. Money is like number 7 or 8 on the list of why people come to or remain or are loyal at a company. You're at a good benefit package, it drops to 4 or 5. The number one reason why people feel satisfied and loyal at work is their relationship with their direct supervisor. And number two, that they feel valued as an individual, cared for, and that they're made to feel an integral part of the team, because we spend more of our waking hours at work than anywhere else. The workplace truly is the largest mission field in the world.
So how do you target your marketing efforts and to motivate a CEO or a HR director to hire a Christian ministry to care for their employees? Because I would imagine that it would be somewhat different than marketing another type of service.
Yeah, that's a good broad question. Let me try to answer it in several ways, because I break down what I do into marketing, sales management, because I have 4 directors of client expansion across the U.S. whose only job is to go and tell our story to company leaders. Real quick, we learned a long time ago, chaplains chaplain, managers manage, accountants account, leaders lead, and marketers market. You really have to separate that. We used to try to take really good chaplains and make them managers and leaders of other chaplains, and that wasn't their calling or spiritual or gift set. And so, you know, if I were to break down the whole marketing thing, and you know that I love in your book, you know, the term sales, people get the used car mentality, et cetera. We're just trying to provide a solution to a need, a felt need. And sometimes that felt need is really evident. And an example of that would be if we talked to a company and they were like, well, this is good. You know, nobody ever tells us that it's a dumb idea and it's stupid and don't ever call me back. But a lot of times they'll kind of sit around for 2 years and then there'll be a suicide at work or somebody die or tragedy. And they're like, oh God. And then they call us and I knew I should have done that. I don't like it when that happens that way.
Yeah.
But on the front end, on the sales side, and the approach we take is we just want to provide all of the key decision makers the appropriate information and material so they can make an informed decision. This decision is between really them and God and what they're trying to do in the culture of their company. So my guys aren't on commission. We don't do bonuses and spiffs. We don't try to wrangle or solve objections, and we don't trial close and do all of the normal stuff that sales, you know, would do in other markets, et cetera. So what I find is even in the smaller companies today, Darren, maybe with 30 employees, there's somebody that's an HR manager in charge of that. We have swung from the top-down leadership command and control model to a shared decision role-making model. So we find that when people have heard the message, that 7-time impression factor, when there's multiple decision makers that all understand it and then they all see how we can fulfill a need that they, many of the times we're just helping consult and help them find out what their pain points are or where would they like to go? Well, we'd like to see more of our people come to Christ, or we want to see more connect to a church, or we want to see more care in our company. And we tried this event, or we did this, and we got our hand slapped, or we invited this in. And then so we become a really easy way to say yes. And there's a process to how it works. You can't run ahead of the Holy Spirit. You have to show people how much you care before you tell them how much you know. So the chaplains are very, very special people, and they just unconditionally love people. And that's a rare commodity these days. The other is a true relationship, to have somebody to talk to that's not over text or a cell phone, that you really have someone that says, "Hey, Darren, I'm Jason, your chaplain. Tell me what's going on. Is there anything I can do for you or your family today?" Mm-hmm. And it's an open-ended book. There's no agenda, no timetable. There's no cost to you. Your problems aren't going to HR. They're not going to your wife. I'm not going to tell your pastor. I'm not going to tell your coworker or boss. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty unique proposition in today's society. And I think that's why our expansion is going the way it is. I try to seed the industry, like we go to the national HR show. You know, I don't want the first time that we talk to a company that the HR person goes, "Oh, I've never heard of you." Mm-hmm. You know, you, "Oh yeah, or I know a company that has y'all, or I've heard of you, or I saw you in this." We have a PR department. We do a lot of publications and are on the news quite frequently. So people become familiar with it. It's kind of been my goal on the marketing front. Very rarely do we get the deer in the headlights, like, "I've never heard of that," or "never heard of y'all," or "there's no way that'll work." That's becoming more and more rare, which is really nice.
Are a lot of these companies part of organizations like the Fellowship of Christian Companies International and other organizations like that?
Yeah, probably 30% of our clients are, you know.
Okay.
FCCI, CBMC, Pinnacle Forum. The leaders are members of Convene or C12 or another local kind of Christian CEO group, shepherding group. You know, those are kind of, in my mind, low-hanging fruit, because those leaders have already recognized that God's given their company for more than just a way to make a living and provide other people a living and to make money. Right. They've already made that shift to an eternal focus rather than just temporal. My whole mindset has been, and we've seen this the last 4 or 5 years because of our branding and marketing and websites and all the different things we do and all the channels we affect, is to grab those larger companies, you know, the 1,000 to 10,000 range, who are public or very largely controlled by a whole variety of people. And when those can embrace us, if we're marketing in our message and our services okay for them, we're going to pick up the smaller Christian-led companies automatically. So the target, you know, I always make sure we're very niche-focused. We're very focused on employee care. We're not going to try to do a lot of other things, as I said. But very rarely do you run into somebody who doesn't realize in today's society that their employees aren't going through a lot of personal problems.
Right. So what are some of the maybe explicitly or overtly Christian things that you see some of these CEOs and HR directors doing? Like, I understand that a Christian, you know, you don't necessarily buy into that concept of a Christian company, but
right.
as far as like Christian leaders in those companies, like, what are some of the things that they're doing in order to really drive that second bottom line of their expressing their Christian values?
Yeah, I think one is just like, you know, I rodeoed with champions, so I became a champion. You know, who are they hanging out with in their peer groups? Are they in with Convene or C12, learning from other Christian leaders of larger companies or smaller that have been through certain things? Are they being wise about how they're employing their faith at work, per se, and not turning people off and being too zealous or too overt, or, you know, I'm holding the Bible study Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, and you know, you're implying, well, do you really want somebody to come to think, well, if I don't go, then the boss isn't going to like me and I'm not going to get a promotion. Or, yeah, you know, I know a large company, it's down in the Houston area. Many years ago, we're really on an evangelical high and wanting to do stuff, and almost had like a preaching church service in the parking lot under a tent and stuff, and gotten all kinds of, wow, you know, not troubled, but it was like, so that kind of turned them off from ever looking at trying to mix the two. So you just have to be very careful, and it's the way Jesus did it anyway. You know, it wasn't coming in and forcing and trying to get people to see things your way. Yeah. It was friendship evangelism. It was taking care of them and healing the sick and causing the blind to see and getting people to rethink about their purpose in life and that they're a creation. And so there is a creator, and just helping people see that, and that their work matters. You know, you may think, well, I'm just an oil change guy at a fast food place. Well, no, you're taking care of this single mom's car who carpools four kids every morning and making sure her car stops at the stop sign and they don't break down in a thunderstorm. You know, there's so much more to it than just work. And I think people are hungry for that. Yeah. And so the more Christian leaders are involved, that's the other thing. There is so many things out there today that you just have to look. There's no reason to try to reinvent the wheel, either from Christian mentoring or servant leadership, employing servant leadership modules in classes, a CEO peer group, or a chaplain organization. You know, some people say, well, I'll just hire my pastor and he can come do this. Well, no, he can't. may not be called to do it, may not have the training, may be overzealous. He's not a team. He wouldn't work well with females. You've got 40 Hispanic guys back in this one area. He's not bilingual. Plus, we cover all the family members, Darren, at no charge. So, you know, there's on average three family members per employee, and they could live in Modesto, California, Ocala, Florida, and Springfield, Illinois. And if they have a heart attack or in a wreck, how are you going to care for them if you're one chaplain inside a company? And then the last thing along that line is, if I'm an employee and the CEO hired his friend or his pastor as the chaplain, am I really going to open up to that chaplain about a sensitive personal issue? Right. No, probably not. So there's a lot to it, but it's highly effective. We see 50 to 75% of the employees using the chaplains after the first year of service. You know, they have to establish that relationship of trust. Some people at first are thinking, you know, are they spies for management? Oh, they're these right-wing people. They're going to try to get me to go to church or get rid of my tattoo. Or, you know, I'm not going to have anything to do with them. That's fine. I wish they weren't even here. But after a year, when things go bump in the night, those become some of our biggest advocates when we're able to really help them when life knocks you down.
It's powerful. It's definitely a different society that we live in versus, say, 100 years ago. I did a podcast about John Wanamaker, the father of modern advertising, just a couple of weeks ago. And there was a story where whenever he first opened up his department store there in Philadelphia, D.L. Moody, the evangelist D.L. Moody, came to town, and he actually gave the space in his department store to D.L. Moody to host this big revival crusade meeting. And Jason, he gave 300 of his own staff members to work the event, to be the ushers for the event. So it's, but that was, you know, we're definitely in more of a post-Christian society. And so, I mean, if you're going to be doing things like, you know, really trying to be overt about your faith in the marketplace, I mean, it's good to have an organization like Marketplace Chaplains to be able to give you some consulting about that. You know, what can you do? What can't you do? And there's probably a lot more that we can do in our businesses than a lot of people realize.
That's right.
And And so that's excellent.
I would suggest checking out, there's a great video by Brad Dacus at the Pacific Justice Institute. It shows all the different things you can do. Of course, we're here in the Hope Center with Kelly Shackelford for Liberty Institute. And you are right. There is a lot of things, if you want to go on the legal side, that owners can do. And again, it's always being wise. I think the biggest hurdle would be, unlike a Christian individual versus a company led by Christians and wanting to expand the kingdom or get the Great Commandment, Great Commission out and all that. A lot of people do it. They do it with conventional means. They're not prayed up in the spirit about it. Mm-hmm. And they try to do it from the old preaching, I know, and you need to follow my way. Mm-hmm. And the millennials and younger generation, unfortunately, they've seen the hypocrisy and the stuff, because we've built up certain things as to be God rather than God himself. So what people are really wanting to see is genuine, authentic Christians living out their faith. So, you know, if the company or their financials open, are they being audited? Do they have a ethics committee? Are they doing servant leadership stuff? You know, it's what are the fruit? What is the fruit coming out of that company, a vine?
Right.
What are the tangible things you can point to say we are a company that holds Christian values? And you know what? Because we do love all people, whether you're Muslim or Buddhist or whatever, we're going to love you and treat you as fairly as anybody else. And you're more than welcome to work here. We welcome you and would count it blessed to bring your skills to be part of the team.
Beautiful. Sounds like Jesus to me. So Jason, what are some of the faith at work movement trends that you've been seeing?
Yeah. A lot of summits and a lot of people coming together, because there's so many aspects of faith at work. We've talked about the CEO side and the employee side. You know, there's the college side, the InterVarsity Press, where, colleges, unfortunately, in the education sector have been taken over by a lot of liberal, anti-Christian professors. And so these kids are coming out of college into the business world thinking, not even thinking anything about their former faith or Christianity. It's all about business and money. International help, orphan help. Really using, leveraging your business, financial resources, manpower, and position in society to affect the downtrodden and the unreached. How do I really use my business as a platform for ministry? And there's a lot of ways to do it. From employees getting together in groups and deciding on a mission project they wanted to do individually. It is endless what is there. If you Google faith at work and start going through all that, there's already plenty out there. Like I say, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel.
Right. What is there a resource that you would recommend for people, to maybe a blog or a book or something that you feel like really kind of helps to educate people about the faith of work movement and how they can incorporate their faith in their business?
Yeah. You know, I'm looking over here on my bookshelf and you've got everything from David Green's More Than a Hobby, John Beckett's Loving Monday, Oz Hillman, Today God Is First. Mm-hmm. There's the servant leadership stuff, the purpose-driven life, marketing like Jesus.
I think I know that guy.
Yeah, Beyond the Norm, Norm Miller at Interstate Batteries. We actually helped him start the chaplain program there at Interstate.
Oh, wow.
Anything along those, it's the people on the front line, and we're starting to use more and more advanced technology and social media. We actually have an app on the iPhone store called MyChap, where employees are able to download it, and then their chaplains that are assigned to their location populate that. They can text, email, call them, or request a resource, or schedule an appointment 24 hours a day.
Excellent.
And, you know, it really is amazing. Two things, all the resources there, but still all the needs and all the hurts out there. We're in an affluent society, but so many people put on a happy face at work and they're chasing, you know, that ladder that never, going up the ladder that never has an ending. And sometimes they slip off and sometimes they just get exhausted. And, you know, when you had that chaplain come by every Tuesday morning and say, "Hey, Darren, how are you? Hey, is there anything I can do for you? How's your family? Well, here, be sure and call me if you ever need anything." And I've had company leaders tell me that I put this in thinking this was for my employees. I don't need this because, you know, I've got this and this and this resource and all that. There's many stories of them saying, "Fine, you know, they didn't realize how much they needed a chaplain." And that's really a neat story. I'll tell you that one of the greatest expansion stories, when I went up to Canada before we had gone into there, went up to a little, this is how humorous God is. If you said to a marketing guy, "Okay, let's market Canada," you'd say, "Well, you've got an eastern, western side, and let's go to Toronto and Montreal and Mississauga. Then we'll go to Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton," right? Those are our target cities. Well, God starts us off in Canada in Fort St. John, British Columbia, you know, 2.5 hours by flight north up in there. And it's a little town, found a great Christian leader. Steve Troyer has a oil well and gas drilling truck fleet, service fleet, great Christian leader. Met him at a Convene conference. He said, "Yeah, you know, this, we need this up here. You are, are you in Canada?" I said, "No, not yet." Invited us up. So I got to go to the two Convene groups, and this is new. Now, this is really new to them, the concept of a workplace chaplain. So as I'm around the group, start telling about who we are and what we do and how we do it, and the guy next to me starts crying and is the owner of a little glass company there, you know, 18 or 19 employees. And, you know, we just kind of stopped, and he said, "You know, I've been praying for something, and I didn't know what I was praying for until today. And God has just now shown me," he said, I need a chaplain for my employees." And so it's those vision matches and God's providence and timing and will. That's why we don't try to force anything. I'll be honest. Early on, I was so eager and, you know, maybe push things a little much, or we'd have a great company and they ask the right questions. They're Christian led. They're bold about their faith on their website. And you think, man, this is going to be awesome. And it doesn't pan out. And every time, Darren, a year or two or later, you go, "Wow, I'm so glad we didn't get involved in that, or didn't, you know, they didn't become a client for whatever reason." So, man, when you can really let go and let God and just trust His Spirit for the right timing. And, you know, there's some companies, many on my team, we've all have these stories of somebody 8 years ago found us, called us, went, did a presentation. They were all ready to go, and then it just never happened. You know, you try to stay warm through constant contact or checking in, and nothing happens. And then finally, you just kind of write them off, and then you get a phone call or an email out of the blue. And it's really a sweet moment. Because the end result, we are a ministry, and here's the greatest thing. You have all the business ROI of better teamwork and better retention and more productivity and all those kind of things. But last year we had the privilege of sharing the gospel of the good news of Jesus over 44,000 times to employees and family members. You know, over 4,000 came to Christ and over 3,000 got connected or reconnected back to local New Testament fellowship. I can't tell you, there's a lot. How many suicides were prevented? How many workplace violence incidents were prevented, how many spousal abuse incidences were prohibited, how many lawsuits were prohibited, but I know there's a lot of them. And when you see the back end, the fruit of that, it makes what we do on the front end so rewarding.
Well, I love that that happened outside of a church building, and I love that it happened not in big meetings, but in one-on-one relational friendship. You know, I mean, just sharing your faith, being the hands and feet of Jesus. And the thing that I feel like the Lord keeps saying to me as I've been listening to all the things you've been saying is I think the kind of the theme is listen to the Holy Spirit. You know, what is the Holy? It's not as I wish we could just kind of lay out a playbook and say, pack everybody into the conference room, get a preacher, you know, get a 3-point sermon. I mean, it's not like that. You really have to be in tune with the Holy Spirit about how he wants to reveal
this,
the gospel, to somebody. And it's probably going to be through a helping hand, through giving somebody, you know, just sharing comfort with somebody that maybe lost a loved one. Yeah. I saw that on your website. And I mean, there's just, if we will just kind of get ourselves out of our box, we'll realize that there are so many vehicles for the gospel beyond just having to have an evangelistic meeting.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, and that's what I was alluding to earlier. We sometimes try to take things that work in the normal business world and apply it here, and it doesn't work. We train our chaplains and remind them, you have to earn the right and the privilege to share the gospel. And you can't run ahead of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, a good prayer of a mentor of mine, Leroy Hain out in California, he says, Lord, bring me in alignment with what you are doing through your Spirit in this person's life so that I'm not lagging behind, because we don't want to never be bold and courageous. Sometimes it is the time to, I'll tell you a quick story. A big trucking company. One of the employees, rough, gruff, he was one of those ones that said, don't ever talk to me. Don't say hi. I don't know why you're here. I don't need you. And our chaplain, one of the male chaplains for that facility, you know, he's a nice, great guy and, you know, was really a little afraid of this guy. So a few months later, coming to make his worksite visit, on the side of the road, he saw a car broke down and the guy standing there. And it was this employee that was,
wow.
And so he said, oh no, Lord, please no. Well, he stopped and he went out and he called him by name and he said, hey, can I help you? And he goes, well, it's broke down. You know, I guess, can you just get me to work? And he said, yeah, sure. I'll get in. I'll drive you to work. So they were a few miles away and the guy was cussing and going off and mad and all that. And finally the chaplain turned to him and said, hey, would you like to find real peace in your life? And the guy just turned to him and he said, yes, I would. But he trusted the chaplain because, one, he was taking him to work, but two, he had been there consistently and showed that he really did care about him and love just by his presence. You know, a lot of what we do, Darren, is just ministry of presence. People are alone today. They don't live near their nuclear family. They have communication, but very few trusted relationships. They're at work a lot. They go home to an empty house a lot. And, you know, it's really sad. Society is really, it's tough. And you're seeing on Facebook and everything else how great everybody's lives are because they only post the good stuff. You become more and more depressed. So it's just really neat to see when God works and uses a chaplain to do that for an employee. And here's the great thing, that the company leader, the Christian, in God's rewards, he gets credit for doing that, because if it wouldn't have been for him taking a bold step of faith and saying, I want this in my company and I'm willing to invest in my people by doing it, we wouldn't be there. So, you know, hats off to all these, because there's 100 reasons why you shouldn't join the Faith at Work deal or make your company a platform for business. And there's 150 reasons why you shouldn't have chaplains come to your workplace.
Yeah.
But you know, it is a neat story, and especially, like I say, in the public companies and then the ones that aren't Christian or even alone evangelical that really appreciate what we do.
I love that. And I think as well what you were saying before about how, especially with millennials, if you don't have that relationship, if you don't have that rapport, then they're not going to listen. And I mean, they're not going to come to your church. They're not going to listen to your pastor. But if you have a relationship built up with them over time where you can show that you're really concerned for that person as an individual, not just trying to get like a spiritual scalp, they'll listen. And so it seems to me that this this marketplace chaplain model and workplace ministry model is going to become more and more at the forefront of what God is doing, and especially in the United States. Yeah. And because of that aspect of, if they don't see it work, if they don't see the evidence of it,
right,
then it's not going to be for them.
And let me make sure and to be clear, and Gil ran into this early on, especially when we try to find a chaplain or talk to a pastor, a church leader about it. It's like, oh, you're going to be our competition. No, we're mm-hmm. not. We're not setting up church at work. And like I said, we're not going to be the person's pastor, priest, or rabbi, or whatever. We want to connect people back to local New Testament church, but we know 70% of the people today have no regular affiliation mm-hmm. with the church organization, but yet they still get sick and go to the hospital and want to get married or have a funeral or a crisis or don't have anyone to talk to. But we work closely with the local churches. A lot of our chaplains, especially in rural areas, have an assignment with us and also pastor a church. You know, they've just got to understand that just because you can go into this workplace doesn't mean they didn't come to your church, so you don't have the right to preach at them like you do
right.
in your church. But we work closely with the church and want to increase that because we're that frontline chaplain. We'll encourage them and disciple them a little bit, but we need to be there on the front lines for the non-believers or when that Christian falls into a bad predicament in life for their family member or they're traveling. We're right there beside them across the country or now, you know, the world. You mentioned the U.S. We're seeing great fruit in China. We just launched in Korea last year and we're in China now with our first few companies. I went over about 4 years ago to Beijing on kind of a test run and talking to people. And of course, they don't understand the concept of chaplaincy because they don't have a chaplain in their military or their hospitals. So we call them workplace caregivers, and they associate it kind of with a mentor or a coach, and that's very big over there. But there's some very strong Christian leaders over there and a lot of dedicated believers. So we're excited about what's going on in China.
That's exciting. And I'm glad that you mentioned before, reminded our listeners that workplace ministry is not about sort of a self-contained ministry. It's about getting people connected with the local body of
right.
believers, and that's what I think a lot of people may miss when they're out there just maybe frustrated that they don't see more impact of the church in the marketplace.
Yeah.
But the reality is that we are the ones, those of us in business, I mean, we're on the front lines. We're the ones that God has put there in order to build that relationship. And just like marketing anything, I mean, it takes time to establish that rapport. But ultimately, we should be directing them into, because when you get saved, you don't just get saved from something. You don't just get saved from your sin. You get saved into
right.
the body of Christ. And so I love, and you mentioned before about how some of the CEOs were kind of helping to get their people connected with churches that were interested. And those are all exciting things.
Yeah. Hey, you know, we don't even really know our neighbors like we used to.
Mm-hmm.
So
right.
Society has changed, but we're just a small part. You know, like I tell people, look, we're not the silver bullet, fix all your problems. But if you look at a spoke of a wheel and you say, okay, I want my company to be different than the other companies. We really want to care, whether that's altruistic or Christian motivated. We want to see people come to faith or back to faith or to church. You know, how do we do that? We're a really solid spoke in that wheel of many things that the companies ought to, you know, implement and how they ought to act and behave. And again, making sure they're not hypocritical, that they're not
yeah.
doing unethical things, because that kills it more than, you know, more than anything.
Wow. Well, Jason, where can people find you and how can they get involved with Marketplace Chaplains?
Sure. Our website is www.mchapusa.com, or they can Google Marketplace Chaplains, or they can Google Marketplace Ministries, which was our original name and our overall operating umbrella. We have the Marketplace Chaplains USA. Under that, Marketplace Chaplains International. We have another division, and actually an operating entity called Railroad Chaplains, where we respond to third-party deaths and suicides on the railroad tracks. We have senior living chaplains and then a foundation. So there's a lot there, but you can find us on the websites and, you know, two sides. Maybe you're a business owner or leader or HR person, or maybe an employee and says, wow, we could really use that kind of help here at our workplace. I'd love to visit with you. But then along the same vein, Darren, we're constantly looking for and hiring and training new chaplains to go out to the workplace and to go out and reach those employees that moved in and aren't connected and feeling alone. We've already had over 268 new chaplains that we've hired and trained this year. And wow. Again, we use a team model. So it's not just a male chaplain. We need female chaplains. We need chaplains of all different ethnic groups, depending on the makeup of the employee demographics of the location we're serving. We try to match that with the team. And that's not only for the linguistic reasons, because many of the workers are bilingual, but because we take care of the families. When we go to an employee's home, many times they do not know English. So when a Hispanic chaplain is able to converse with that family that's having a crisis or a need, it's really, really powerful. So we need chaplains all the time. You know, God works in funny ways. Sometimes he brings us a company in a new area like Fort St. John, or I remember Rapid City, South Dakota, and the companies come first. And then we've got to go, you know, with the Lord, find the chaplains. But then other times there's a story. There's a lube fast company we serve with almost 100 locations. Well, the year prior to that, we started getting chaplain applications from all these little towns throughout the Southeast. And we're like, I'm sorry, we can put you on reserve or backup or if we get an assignment, but we don't have any clients in your area. And about a year later, this company owner found us and talked with us, and he said, man, this sounds great. He goes, but I know this won't work for us. And our region vice president of operations for out of Atlanta said, well, why not? And he said, well, man, I've got these little oil chain stores, and there's six guys in this town, and there's eight guys over in this town, and there's, you know, it's all spread out, so you'd never be able to do it. And they said, well, that's kind of funny, because over the last year we've had chaplains that have applied in all those same little towns. So,
oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. But, man, this is great. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part. I really enjoy your book. I wrote down a lot of stuff. It reinforces, what we need to do, you know, connecting with people on why we do it. And most of them know the needs there. They really don't know the cost that it's costing their company to let all those problems fester in the turnover. So,
well, I'm going to have the links that you shared in the show notes on the website.
Okay.
And, Jason, this has been incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your time and expertise and the incredible stories. I mean, especially the one about the chaplain that picked the fellow up on the way to work. I mean, it's just really brought us back to what it's all about when we talk about marketplace ministry. It's about the one, like you said, and being the hands and feet of Jesus and not being a Bible beater, but just being Jesus, you know, living out your faith in the marketplace. And so keep doing great things for God in the marketplace, and looking forward to continuing the conversation.
Absolutely. It's been my pleasure to share a little bit, and I look forward to meeting you soon in Houston, but you keep up the good fight as well, Darren.